Hello friends, and welcome to the Finished Work Eschatology vlog number 22, subtitled The Coming of the Son of Man. This is the key phrase. I want to read it from Matthew 24. I want to read a couple of extra verses as well. Starting in Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I want to emphasize the phrase in the end of verse 27, the coming of the Son of Man. I want to emphasize the phrase at the end of verse 30, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That doesn't mean we won't get to 28, 29, and the body of verse 30. We just won't get to it this week. Okay, we will spend some time on it as we proceed. But this is a contrasting verse. You have been reading the last few verses about false messiahs. Look at where false messiahs will consider themselves. In verse 23, if anyone says, look, here's Christ, or there, don't believe it. False Christs and false prophets are going to rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. 26, if they say he's in the desert, don't go out. If they say, look, he's in the secret chamber, don't believe it. Now, the contrast is, when it really is the Messiah, it's going to be like the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So the contrast is there's going to be false messiahs who claim to have a physical locality to their arrival. But the real Messiah is going to come in a way unexpected. He's going to come as the lightning. Lightning is not secret. He's going to come in a way that will be climactic, not secretive. He will not go out into the desert. He will not be in the inner chamber. He will not be look here or look there. I like to say it as the Messiah, the false messiahs were claiming to be localized. Hey, look, there is where he is, or he's over there. But when the Messiah comes in this passage, it will not be in the way that you would expect a Messiah to come. It will be like a flash of lightning, which is climactic and visible. My particular view on this passage that we are reading right here, this is a very controversial passage for biblical scholars because it sort of is the drawing line in the sand. Some will jump on one side of that sand line and say all of this is when he comes in the future. And then there will be those who jump somewhere on the other side of the sand that say this is what it was like when he came in the past. And then there will be even those who try to put one foot on one side and one foot on the other, and they will say this is what it looked like when he came. This is also what it'll look like when he comes. My view on this particular passage is that it is a preterite passage. Preterite is a word that means past. It's where we get the word preterism, that things are in our past. I'm not saying every single thing is in our past, but I am saying that specifically this passage is in our past. And I want to show you that up until about 200 years ago, the consensus of the church was that it was in our past. We have used extra biblical sources from all the way from the second century in these vlogs to show you the writings of church leaders and how they viewed Matthew 24. And since I'm confining this study, not really confining it to Matthew 24, but basing everything around Matthew 24, we're going to continue to do that. So to start with today, I want to read from John Calvin's commentary. John Calvin, of course, wrote several hundred years ago, 16th century. Commenting on verses 26 and 27, which are two verses we just read, let me give you the source here. This is John Calvin's commentary, volume 17, reading from pages 142 and 143. This is in regards to Matthew chapter 24, verses 26 and 27. The meaning, therefore, is that everyone who collects his forces into a secret place in order to regain the freedom of the nation by arms falsely pretends to be the Christ. For the Redeemer is sent to diffuse his grace suddenly and unexpectedly through every quarter of the world. But these two things are quite contrary: to shut up redemption within some corner and to spread it through the whole world. The disciples were thus reminded that they must no longer seek a Redeemer within the small enclosure of Judea, because he will suddenly extend the limits of his kingdom to the uttermost ends of the world. And indeed, this astonishing rapidity with which the gospel flew through every part of the world was a manifest testimony of divine power. For it could not be the result of human industry that the light of the gospel, as soon as it appeared, darted from one side of the world to the opposite side like lightning, and therefore it is not without reason that Christ introduces this circumstance for demonstrating and magnifying his heavenly glory. Besides, by holding out this vast extent of his kingdom, he intended to show the desolation of Judea would not hinder him from reigning. I tend to agree. That's why I use that for writing with John Calvin, that the lightning from the east to the west is a metaphorical expression of how quickly he will reveal his justice and then his grace onto planet Earth. And that he did that when he arrived in judgment on Jerusalem in AD 70. Apocalyptic language, such as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, is not uncommon in the Bible. Let me read to you from Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 14. Jeremiah chapter 9. That's the incorrect. That is incorrect verse. Let me see here. Jeremiah. Yeah. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as... I'm sorry, Zechariah. That's my problem. Zechariah. I'm reading it right and saying it wrong. Zechariah 9:14. The Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. This is apocalyptic language. It's the kind of things that the Word of God says about the arrival of God. So whether it's the coming of the Son of Man through lightning flashes, through thunder rolling, we have this as imagery. But now, I really just using all of that as a prelude to my subtitle, which is the coming of the Son of Man. And I know that when you read that, what you really get excited about is the coming. But what I want you to get excited about, what I think you ought to be excited about, because it's unique, is the phrase Son of Man. Why I say that it is unique, let's read it again. I want to read it from the 27th verse first. Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. It's unique because Jesus is saying it. He is calling that future arrival, the Son of Man, and yet the disciples in verse 3 said, what will be the sign of your coming? So he's saying to them, I am the Son of Man. Now, I don't think we catch it. For so long, I would read the phrase or hear the phrase Son of Man and just think it was interchangeable. I would say, well, it's just another word for Jesus. He's the Son of God, but he's also called the Son of Man. And I might have given you a theological reason why he's the last Adam, and therefore he's calling himself the Son of Man. Until I realized how little the phrase is used in the Bible, and how when it is used, there's a connectivity to the phrase Son of Man. So remember, Jesus is calling himself the Son of Man. For the reader, this is interesting, and it's very, very path-breaking, is perhaps the word. Here's why. Daniel chapter 7. I want to show you why Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now, if you're reading from the New King James Version, you'll find a very fascinating set of pronouns, him, but you'll find that they are capitalized, and they brought him before him. Both of them are capitalized. They're bringing the Son of Man to the Ancient of Days. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Now I want you to notice that the Son of Man appears before the Ancient of Days, and the Ancient of Days gives the Son of Man a kingdom which lasts forever, which cannot be destroyed. So the arrival of the Son of Man on the clouds of heaven was to stand before the Ancient of Days. Then Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to come in the clouds of heaven. Where does he get the right to say the Son of Man? He gets it from Daniel 7. So the Son of Man in Daniel 7 is standing in front of God, rides in on a cloud, receives a kingdom, and Jesus tells the disciples, you're going to see the manifestation of that kingdom when the Son of Man comes riding on the clouds. So they would have understood the language. They would have understood that what he was referring to was not a physical cloud. He was referring to the fact that he was the same Son of Man that Daniel saw standing in front of the Ancient of Days. And the coming with the clouds, go back to Matthew 24. In verse 30, Jesus says, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So in Daniel, the Son of Man is coming on the clouds to receive his kingdom. In Matthew, the Son of Man is coming on the clouds to manifest his kingdom. But would you be surprised to know that in between receiving the kingdom while standing in front of the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7 and manifesting the kingdom at the outpouring of the wrath of God on Jerusalem in AD 70, there was another glimpse of the Son of Man? In fact, it's the New Testament outside of the Gospels. It's the New Testament's token usage of Son of Man. That's why I told you earlier, I used to just think Son of Man was interchangeable until I realized it's not. You don't just see the epistle writers throwing around the phrase Son of Man, Son of Man. No, they'll call him the Son of God, but the Son of Man? Where do we get the Son of Man? Now, if you'll recall a vlog we did a few weeks ago on Daniel's 70th week, we got into Stephen being stoned, and I told you I believe that was the end of the 70th week. But I want to remind you again what Stephen says in Acts chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 54, we'll read through 56. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. So right now, all they're doing is just yelling at him and screaming vehemently. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. What does Stephen has done? Stephen has looked into the spirit realm. He has seen the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father, the Ancient of Days. For the Jewish mind, and these are the ones vehemently biting at him with their teeth, to see the Son of Man, you've got to go to Daniel 7. The Son of Man stands in front of the Ancient of Days. For the disciples, the Son of Man's going to come in the clouds on judgment of Jerusalem. For Stephen, the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of the Father. Now the crowd changes on Stephen. In verse 54, they were just yelling at him, gnashing at him with their teeth. But then in 57, they cry with a loud voice, they stop their ears, and they run at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stone him, and the witnesses lay down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They were mad at first. And then Stephen messed up in their mind. Stephen claims that Jesus is the Son of Man of Daniel 7, that he is standing by the Ancient of Days with a kingdom. And by doing that, this causes those Pharisees, whomever it is, Saul's men that are persecuting, it causes them to kill Stephen because he is saying that Jesus is the Son of Man of Daniel, and according to Daniel 7, the Son of Man is to receive a kingdom that will last forever, that will never pass away. So I want to go 1, 2, 3 on you. 1, the Son of Man will ride the clouds and stand in front of the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days will hand the Son of Man a kingdom that will last forever. Jesus, 2, Jesus arrives and tells the Pharisees, the kingdom will not come by observation. You will not see it. The kingdom is in your midst. They accuse him of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. Jesus says, why would Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? A house divided against itself cannot stand. But if I be casting out these devils by the hand, by the finger of God, then you must admit that the kingdom is upon you. Jesus sends his disciples out and tells them to preach the gospel of the kingdom. What kingdom? The same kingdom that was handed to the Son of Man, riding on the clouds, standing in front of the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7. Thirdly, really I should have said 4. Thirdly, Jesus dies, buries, is resurrected, and ascends into heaven, and Stephen sees a vision of the Son of Man, same phrase, Son of Man, standing at the right hand of God. It's Stephen's way of saying he is the Son of Man that rides on the clouds. He is the one who fully manifests his kingdom. They killed him for it, cost him his life. Number 4, Jesus says in Matthew 24, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. That's the full manifestation of the kingdom. What will it look like? It won't be, oh, you can find him in a room. You can find him in the desert. No, it's going to be like lightning. It's going to be like a flash, east to west. It's going to happen that quickly that the kingdom is going to manifest itself. The kingdom that has been promised to the Son of Man is going to arrive in the hands of the Son of Man. So the arrival that Jesus is talking about, Matthew 24, verses 27 through 30, is not some physical manifestation of Jesus setting his foot on